Well, a blessed and happy good morning to all you folks out there. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatness of your love for us. We thank you for all the gifts that you have bestowed upon us and that we can give back to you in ways that bless you more than we can imagine. I thank you, Father, for today, for open hearts and open ears. In the name of Jesus Christ, and that is the name of today's teaching, the name of Jesus, which in the Hebrew is Yeshua, and it literally translates, the Lord is our salvation. Salvation, people usually think of eternal life, but salvation means to bring wholeness, W-H-O-L-E, to make whole, to make complete again. In Genesis, Adam and Eve lost a ton of privileges in the Garden of Eden, and it's only through Jesus Christ that we regain not only what Adam and Eve lost, but even more. And let me tell you, my friends, when you understand the power behind the name of Jesus, everything changes. Our God is the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and he is the Father of all those who call upon the name of Jesus, his Son, in faith. In the name of Jesus, we are born again. In the name of Jesus, the sick are healed. In the name of Jesus, every demon has to bow. In the name of Jesus, we are taken from death unto life in a nanosecond. It's the name of Jesus we are redeemed from our past and given a glorious, glorious new future for now and eternity. And there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. All wholeness in any area of our life comes from Jesus. And the Bible says that at this point in time, if you're born again, Jesus actually is your life source. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The life force that drove our body before the new birth was called the spirit of man, which is not an eternal spirit. But when you're born again, you are filled with the spirit of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. God is holy and God is spirit. And his essence moves into your physical body. Therefore, Christ literally becomes your life source and force. We're going to talk about John 15 in a little bit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Well, what is the vine? The vine is the source. Without the vine, the branch ceases to exist. And this is what the Bible says right here. Your ability to breathe, to see, to move is powered by Jesus Christ. I used to have a t-shirt that said, this vehicle is powered by Holy Spirit. And man, if you could see yourself in the spirit realm, if somehow you could put on some kind of truth goggles and see yourself in the mirror in the spirit realm, it would blow your mind. The transcendent beauty inside of you. The light, the love, the power that lives in your earthen vessel would take your breath away. You would take your breath away if you saw yourself like God and Jesus see you. So you know what? We need to stop acting like humans and start acting like spiritual beings because we are new creations in Christ. We used to have a word, we call it SOGWAP, S-O-G-W-A-P, SOGWAP, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, Son of God with all power. And that was our nickname for each other in the 70s, SOGWAP, Sons of God with all power. But we have to stop looking at our fleshly limits and focus on this incredible spirit inside, which has absolutely no limitations. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is about as plain as the nose on your face. This is a whole new ball game. The spirit of man moved out, Christ in you moved in, and now Christ literally lives in you. We collectively make up the body of Christ, the church, the called out, the ecclesia. But you are filled to the brim with him. You are wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. The majority of your body is Holy Spirit. And so you have a God connection that can never be broken unless you decide just not to use it, to just let yourself die on the vine. But why would you do that? Well, the way we stay thriving on the vine is God exhorts us to let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. To think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to heal like Jesus. Jesus is our everything. The more we can get our mind wrapped around that, the happier and more free we're going to be. He's the branch, we're the vines. Apart from him, we wither. We can do nothing of any eternal importance from our five senses. Because now we're in a different realm. We live in two realms at one time. Yes, our attention is given to this physical plane for the most part, but we have to train our mind to get our attention in the spirit realm, in the heavenly realm, which that's where the things eternal, the things that matter come from. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, where Jesus talks about, I'm the vine, you're the branch. In verse 4, he says, we have to do this. We have to do this in our thinking patterns. Remain in me as I also remain in you. Well, he is in us. He's not going anywhere. The question is, are we going to go out of the picture? He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Where? In your thoughts, in your heart, in your belief system. John 15:8. And why do we have this relationship with Christ in our heart, living and moving and breathing within us? This is to my Father's glory. Life is all about God, folks. We get to be his children. We get to have eternal life. We get to spend it with him. But life is all about God. And God says in the Old Testament, he's a jealous God. He wants the glory that is due only unto him. That means a lot to our Father. Well, it means everything to him. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself as my what? Disciples, disciplined ones. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now. Remain in my love. We do that by thinking about God and Jesus all through our day. I am constantly bringing my thoughts back to the spirit realm. When I find myself out in left field, I realize I've been focusing on the things in my life from a worldly standpoint and not from my place, which is seated in the heavenlies next to Jesus, according to Ephesians. When I'm trying to handle life by my five senses, I'm fighting the devil on his turf, on his battlefield. What I need to be doing is dragging him by the scruff of the neck onto holy ground in front of the courtroom of heaven, throw his stinky rear end, his carcass, in front of Jesus Christ and say, what do I do with this creep? And he'll tell me, he's under your feet, do whatever you want. And then Jesus will give me answers on how to handle that situation properly. And the wild thing is, this is all stuff that we do through our heart and mind. It's not like we got to get a ticket and go on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land It's not like we've got to walk 200 miles. It's not like we've got to go up a church steps on our knees like some people think. No, all we have to do is change the focus of our mind. Take our mind off, shut out the five senses, shut out the voices telling you how weak you are, and glom on to Jesus like a Texan on a barbecued rib. He is our eternal power. We are plugged into Him 24/7. Why do we forget it for such long periods of time? Been almost 50 years I've been doing this, and I still can't answer the question how we get so caught up sometime in the wheel of the world and the stupidity of what's going on around us rather than looking at the beauty and the power within us, walking in that power and sharing that with the world. Philippians, please. Chapter 2, verse 5 says, Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us. I don't know why I have Galatians 2:20. Maybe that's where it is. But the point is, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Oh, who loved us and gave Himself for us. This is in Galatians. To let means I already own it. If I let something, you know, if I let myself have some chocolate ice cream from my freezer, it's because I already own it. If I let Izzy out to do her thing, it's because I own Izzy. She's my pet. She's already mine. I can't let something I don't have. And Jesus gave us a permanent link to God. We have a permanent link to the mind of Christ, to the thoughts of Christ. All we have to do is set ourselves to get still, tune to flow, start talking to Jesus, listen for His answers, journaling, meditating, praying is a dialogue, not a monologue. And when we're walking in that state of mind, you can go to Luke chapter 9. When we're walking in that state of mind, that Jesus state of mind, we know that we have the authority and the resources to bring God's will onto this earth, just like the Our Father. Thy will be done in earth as in heaven. That is what Jesus said is the number one thing we should think about in our prayer time. Pray like this, thinking about bringing God's will to earth. And you know, when we're thinking and we're trucking on that and all, you know, all cylinders, that's when we walk in signs, miracles, and wonders. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, that we're supposed to be imitators of God, reflecting Him back to the world. It tells us how to do that, to walk like Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Again, focusing on Jesus, focusing on the Christ in you, looking past this clay vessel into the treasure on the inside of every single person hearing this teaching. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says, then He, Jesus, called His 12 disciples. Remember earlier, Jesus asked us to be His disciples in John 15? He called 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And how did they use that power and authority? In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed about that mandate. If we're Jesus' disciples, that's how we're going to live in our daily life. I know we believe that Jesus will appear. We're going to appear with Him in glory at the resurrection. But I don't think we fully have wrapped our mind around how much glory we walk in right now, right here. If you could see the spirit realm, I mean, if this house were totally black, it's a figure of speech here, I would light up like a searchlight. We are filled with the light of God, the love of God. We are the lights of this world. God says, don't put your light under a bushel. And in Mark 16, here's the deal. We are supposed to be the manifestation of the glory of God through the Christ in us right here, right now. It's like if they've seen me, they've seen the Father. I'm that loving, I'm that powerful. Mark 16, 17, and these signs shall follow them that do one thing. Trust God. Believe what I'm telling you right now. This is for all of us. In my name, shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18 should be translated, they shall trod on demons underfoot. That's a terrible translation. There's nothing about picking up snakes in the Bible. They shall trod on demons underfoot, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. When Jesus instructed us to use his name, he was giving us power of attorney. Power of attorney. Us older people especially understand what that means. It means you give somebody power that if you're incapacitated or not present, physically present, they can conduct business in your name. Therefore, we have been authorized to represent Jesus Christ on his behalf on this earth. When, folks? Right now, here today. Right now, right here, right now. John 14, 12. I tell you of a truth. This is Jesus speaking. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. And that's why when I found out there were 9 manifestations listed in 1 Corinthians 12, I just like a duck to water said, okay, God, show me how to use this one. I'd start to master that one. I'd say, okay, Father, show me how to use the next one. I'd master that one. We were born to exercise all 9 all the time. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, discerning of spirits, miracles, healing, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. What am I missing? Discerning of spirits. Did I get that? Look them up in 1 Corinthians 12. There's all 9. It's like a Swiss Army knife. Once you got the knife, you've got all 9 little blades on it. You can pick out any blade you need to use. The little screw, corkscrew, the knife, the fingernail file, the toothpick. And it's ours because Jesus is our life, folks. You are wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. If we could get through our mind that the preponderance of who we act, what we're actually made up of right now is not primarily blood, flesh and blood. It is 100% grade A Holy Spirit that lives in every hair, every cell, every fiber of your body. It permeates your body so that when you are tapped into it, you are white hot. I mean, people can walk in your presence and sense something different about you. And to live like that, we need to develop habits Jesus had. He stayed his mind on the omnipresence of God all the time. I mean, even when he was, quote, caught off guard and teaching a fellowship and they threw down the woman who was caught in adultery, what'd he do? You know, his mind had been in one place ministering to the group. That was a great place to be. But he needed a shift because they were going to kill somebody. They were going to murder a woman right in his presence if he didn't get it right. And he just chilled. He got focused, went within himself, tuned to flow, and he gave the only answer that could save her life. Let he that is without sin among you cast the first stone. And they were convicted in their hearts and dropped their rocks and walked away. You know, I was so blessed not long ago when somebody came into my house and they kind of looked at me incredulously and they said, I've never seen a house with so much scripture on the walls. This is one of the reasons I got into a lot of art years ago, trying to get things that would bring people's minds back to Jesus that they could put on their walls, put on their refrigerator, have in a coffee mug. I love that because I will do anything to remind myself throughout the day that God is in me and with me. I put little yellow post-its on the dashboard of my car. I stick notes on my kitchen counter. In the morning, the first thing I do is I do what Jesus did. I get quiet and I meditate and I pray and I plug into Father before I even get out of bed. Okay, full disclosure, I might get up and go to the bathroom real quick, but then I come right back. Because I want God to get my first thoughts in the morning. I want to get my axe sharpened first thing in the morning so I can chop down some trees for the Lord. I want to get my head in a space where I want to keep it all day. And I'm constantly going back and searching and researching the Word and asking the Holy Spirit to guide my heart and reveal scriptures that I've seen dozens of times deeper and more meaningful to my life. It's amazing. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but, you know, there's scriptures that I'd read for decades, and all of a sudden I'm reading it one day and going, boing, and just something so much deeper, so much richer. It's like going to the restaurant and having the triple chocolate dessert. It just, the richness of God's Word is unparalleled. Somebody asked me one time, they said, once you read the Bible once, why would you bother to read it again? And I just thought, boy, this person's got to be blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. Because God's wisdom is infinite. And when we continue in the Word, it can be sections we've read for dozens of times, and God will show us deeper and deeper understanding. Metanoeo, lights will go on in our heart. So I exhort you to do whatever it takes to remind yourself that you are not a physical being having a spiritual experience. You're not. You're a spiritual being, having a physical experience. You are wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. That is the part of you that is glorious. If you want to learn to love yourself, do what I did. Love the Spirit in you first, and then loving the rest of you will come later. There's nothing about myself I'm ashamed of or I despise or I wish was different. Seriously. And you're saying, well, Peg, you have a lot of flaws. Okay, but see, I know what they are. And I also know what my long suits are. And I really love the person I have become through Jesus loving me. And I want to give that same experience to any human being on this planet that will listen. There's a Lord that loves you so much, He laid down His life for you so that He could move inside you and He could dwell in your physical body in this lifetime. Dear ones, this is the only thing that can save the world. God's love in action through His children. When we have the love of God in our hearts and the truth of God in our mouth, that's the only way we can make this world a better place. And Lord knows it needs us. The truth of Jesus is the only thing that really changes a person for the better. You know, Jesus restores health if it's been lost. He restores our soul if that's been crushed. He restores self-respect if that's been lost. Jesus is the one who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him and now they are with us. So we can do the same thing, not just to give ourselves and others an abundant life, but a more than abundant life. And that, my friends, comes from the Spirit of God living inside you. You just can't get it any other way. All of that power that we're talking about here all comes through the authority, the power of attorney that was bestowed upon us in a legal document called the Bible, which is God's will and testament. And He says for a testament to be in effect, the testator has to be dead. Jesus died, but He rose again. So when He died, everything in God's will, the Bible, came into legal effect in our life. The devil's only job is to try to cause us to doubt what we have, to doubt this word, to doubt who we are in Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 1, please. I'm going to give you just a few reasons why we can absolutely do the works of Jesus. Colossians 1:21 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has past tense. He did all this back 2,000 years ago. We just take advantage of this will and testament in our own life now. He has made us fit or able to be partakers of the inheritance, will and testament, of the saints in the light. That's us. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated or transported us into a whole different lifestyle. He's moved us into his kingdom by his dear son. We are no longer limited by the five senses. We have a sixth sense, a sixth way to deal with life, and that is spirit knowledge. Verse 22, and you who are sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now are you reconciled. Take your fingers and put them together and make them fit. Now you're reconciled. You fit with God now in the body of Jesus' flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. When was the last time you looked in the mirror and saw yourself as holy and unblameable and unreprovable? Because that's who God says you are. And if God says it, that settles it. Whether I believe it or not, it's still true. It would behoove me to get on the truth bandwagon and think about myself like God thinks about me, because I'd live a much happier, freer, more productive life. And that's why we need to stop acting like humans and start acting like the spiritual beings that we are, because we are new creations in Christ. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, quote, end of quote, we are God's representatives from heaven with all the powers of our true citizenship given to us in God's will and testament called the Bible. We have all the authority that the name King Jesus carries with it, which is all power in heaven and earth. Our job is simply to believe the will and testament. Believe the legal document you're holding in your hand. I don't care whether you're doing it on an iPhone, on a laptop, an actual paper Bible. It doesn't nullify anything in God's will and testament. The testator died. It's signed in Jesus' blood, and now he set into effect all these riches of his glory that are inside of us right now. It says in Ephesians 1:7, that we have redemption. Satan, he used to pull us around by a ring in our nose before Jesus. No. No. When we got born again, Satan moved under our feet. He's not in front of us or behind us. He's under our feet. And we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches. How rich is God? He invented gold. He invented power. He invented money. He invented gifts. He invented love. He invented closeness. He invented friendships. He has an abundance of everything good, good, good that we will need. You know, that verse in Timothy, Artios, that ship completely outfitted to complete the voyage. We are completely, completely, complete in Christ if we would just wake up to that reality. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, and you are what? Complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, which means he's above every demon that ever lived. Folks, if as a body of Christ, we would go into our prayer closet every day and do battle from the throne of God, standing next to Jesus, and God would direct you to pray for areas on this earth to send angels, people, missionaries, whatever, to start to heal this planet. As much as I believe in stewardships, climate change has nothing to do with healing our planet. The climate of your heart changing has everything to do with healing our planet. We got to go from death unto life. Quit living in selfishness and live out of love. That's what's going to change the world. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, which means that every demon that has ever lived is under your feet now. Sickness, poverty, depression, darkness, you know, the people around you that try to mess with your head and mess with your life. Those are those times I ask God, and He'll show me specifically how many angels He's sending to minister to me, to put me in their bubble, to keep that person's words and life from bleeding into mine if it's negative. He's our shepherd, people. He takes care of us. This is the kind of stuff we just have to drive into our mind, habitually bring our mind back to the truth of who you are, this bright, translucent, bubbling light on the inside that you can't see with your naked eye. But God can show you in your spirit if you ask Him. So first we come back to the truth of who we are, and then the truth of whose we are. I love it when Jesus is talking about the ones that have chosen Him, and He says, and the devil can snatch none of them from my hand. I do believe that's why I've lived these 7 decades. I thought I was going to be dead at 21. I was shocked when I made it to 30. I was surprised when I made it to 40. Because I had a generational curse that I was supposed to die at 21. It happened to multiple members in my family. But God, knowing what I was doing for Him in the future, those ministering angels saved me time after time after time. Because of whose I am, God's. And when we know who we are and whose we are, folks, that's when you can take off the limitations. You can live a bigger and more beautiful life than you've ever dreamed, all for God's glory and in His service. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 names a whole list of things that, you know, can try to tear us down and, you know, war and sickness and poverty and all this stuff. You can read it for yourselves, but it says no dice. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Again, in ourselves, by my flesh, no. Through Christ who loves me, through Christ who is my life, the life that I now live. I live by the faith of Jesus. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, we can and should walk in newness of life every single day. The old you is dead. Even you that messed up 5 minutes ago, that part of you is already dead and washed down the drain. The new you is full of Christ, light, love, power. And we can walk in it because Christ paid for it with His blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and God has given it to make an atonement for the soul of mankind. The will and testament is signed and sealed. And because our God said, I am the Lord God Almighty, is anything too hard for me? I love that verse. Folks, anything God has the ability to do, if it needs to come forth in your life or for you when you're ministering to someone else, you can do it because nothing's too hard for God. It may look impossible to you, but it's nothing but a chicken wing on a string to God. All we have to do is be open vessels and let Him flow through us in faith. Trust. Faith is the word pistis to means to be completely persuaded. I am more persuaded that Christ lives in me than I am of this phone that I'm speaking this teaching into. Christ in me is so real. Do I forget from time to time? Yes, I'm human. But I tell you what I do, I also do, I get back on the beam quickly. Because the more you can keep Jesus on your mind, the more you glorify God. And that's why we're here. That's why Jesus is the vine. And we just stay remain in Him and keep that life from heaven flowing through us to planet Earth? Because the only thing I'll say about the world is it's a dark mess. It's a hot mess. Every place you look, something messed up is going on. There's no surprises there. And if that's what you focus on, if that's all you focus on, that's you'll just be freaked out all the time. But if you focus on the treasure on the inside, if you focus on the Christ in you, if you focus on the throne of God, if you realize God is the great judge of all human hearts, and that only listening to the Savior can we save the world, only by presenting the gospel of the Savior can we save the world, only by walking in the power within us from the Savior can we change the world. And then we can, in fact, be world changers. All we have to do is have the love of God in our hearts and the truth, the rhema, the words you need in that moment, the rhema, the truth of God in our mouths. Jesus is the one who bought us back from the devil. Literally, He redeemed us. He redeemed us from the power of Satan into His kingdom of light. And we who had been dead in trespasses and sins, He washed us clean and gave us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And He justified us. He cleaned us up so much, it's just as if we never sinned. He's the one who made us holy. He's the one who sanctified us. And you know what sanctified means? Something that is set apart for the use of God in a holy sacrament. For a holy thing. God set us apart as holy to be used by Him to serve our fellow man and do His will. God's will. So by proxy, He took our place. We all deserve death. But no, we got eternal life because Jesus stood in for us in death. He was our proxy. He rose for us, and He seated us at the right hand of God. So all we need to do is shake the cobwebs out of our head and realize that God has made us in Ephesians 2. He didn't ask us. He made us. It's a reality. Whether we want to recognize it or not, it's a reality. I have a car out in my garage. It's a reality. Whether I ever take the keys and use it profitably, that's up to me. But we are made, He made us in Ephesians 2, to sit in the heavenlies next to Him. So spiritually, we are with Christ right next to God the Father, and we have access to anything God wants to teach us, show us, or do through us. Right this very second. Just close your eyes for a second. And take a deep breath and remember that God even gave us air to breathe. If He turned off the oxygen, we'd all be gone in about 6 minutes. So just take a deep breath and be thankful for air. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Thank you, God. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Thank you, God. Take a deep breath. Thank you, God. Blow it out. Just calming yourself, recognizing that Christ lives wall to wall in your whole body right now. That's how we can have an open conversation with Jesus or the Father anytime we want. We just have to get quiet, fix our eyes on Jesus, and get into the flow. And then just do the good things they show us. Because, folks, that's the story of, that's the glory of living in the name of Jesus. This is simplicity itself. And yet it seems so few of us really find this place of peace when it's available to everyone. In the name of Jesus, we need to stop acting like humans and start acting like the spiritual beings, the warriors, the prayer warriors, the healers, the miracle workers that we actually are, because we all are new creations in Christ, Sagwaps, Son of God's, sons of God with all power. My prayer for everyone hearing this is that you make up your mind to believe God's word more today than yesterday, to embrace the power of Jesus inside you and share it with everyone you meet. I love and appreciate you. I believe in you. But more importantly, Jesus believes in you. So let's get out there and do our daddy's business. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the conference that's about to come up in a week or so. I thank you that lives are changed, and like a rock being thrown into a pond, the ripple effect of love that comes from Amelia Island is part and parcel to your plan to heal the whole planet, so the gospel of Jesus our Savior can be preached in every nation. May everything be done in love to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.